Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to embark upon the path that, when done correctly, produces one winner after another. Today, we're going to leverage everything. My name is Josh Thomas. I'm your host. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. This podcast is brought to you by VAIQ. We find high-performing international talent and put them into high-performing environments that we build and run for you. And we stay on top of them every single day so that they have no choice but to produce consistent results. We found this to be the fastest way to expand production, save time, lower stress, and get back to leading instead of micromanaging. Plus, you can save up to 70% versus hiring locally. You can learn more at VAIQ.net. Today's guest is Jason Greenwood. Jason is the founder of Greenwood Consulting, a specialist B2B e-commerce consultancy. For 25 plus years, Jason has been helping brands and suppliers expertly architect compelling digital buying and brand engagement experiences. Jason, welcome to the show. What is one thing you do better than anyone else, and how do you use that to your advantage?
Yeah, look, I had an old boss back in agency days many years ago, and he said, Jason, he said, you knoweth a man by the questions he asketh, not by the answers he giveth. And I took that to heart, and I'd like to think that one of my superpowers is asking better questions than almost anyone else in the industry, especially when I get into discovery with my clients and I'm trying to unpick the layers of the onion in their business, how they operate, how they do what they do, what makes them special, what makes them unique, what makes them the precious snowflake that they think they are, and then helping them map a pathway from where they are today to a better digital future. And in many instances in the B2B world, that still means that 98% of B2C and D2C brands today do e-commerce and offer e-commerce. There's depending on the category and vertical, somewhere between 40 and 60 percent of manufacturers and distributors do not offer an e-commerce or buyer's portal. They might do EDI, they might do punch out, they might do something else, but they don't offer a self-service e-commerce portal. And so I'm helping to guide them to that promising e-commerce future that all of their buyers want to be able to leverage.
I think the key of asking the right questions and asking deeper questions that are maybe a little bit below the surface or that don't have a black and white answer is really the key that opens the door to any level of knowledge, understanding, trust, faith. Just being able to ask that question that allows somebody to say an answer that can't possibly be wrong. And I'd love to hear more about that. That's one thing you said that stood out because I'm a guy that has recorded 1,200 podcast episodes, and I have asked on this particular podcast, it used to be called the Do Zone, and I asked one question 300 times, and I got 300 different answers. Now I'm asking a different question, but I'm asking that same question over and over, and I keep getting these different answers, and none of them are wrong. I'd love for you to expand on that just a little bit. I know we'll get into the technical stuff on marketing things, but that's important to me. I want to know more about it.
Yeah, look, I think what's interesting is I know we've had a good discovery workshop planning session, because I send out about 175 question questionnaire to all my clients before we ever sit down to do a proper discovery workshop together. And that questionnaire forms the foundation of what we'll cover in the discovery workshops themselves. And one of the greatest compliments that I can ever receive is when the leadership of the business will come back to me and they'll say, Jason, that was the most enjoyable discovery or the most enlightening discovery we've ever gone through with a partner, right? With a technical partner of any kind. Or, when a CEO of a third generation family-owned distribution company that's a $350 million a year business, when we're going around the round table and we're asking questions of the business experts within the business, the subject matter experts in the business, and someone will give an answer and the CEO will go, really? Do we do it that way? How long have we been doing it that way? Because I thought we did it this way. So when you can help leaders of a business understand more about their business than they did when they first met you, then that sets the scene for them to feel like they won the lottery when they started working with you. And that's always my goal. My goal is very clear. I want every single client that works with me to feel like they won the lottery. And if they can at some point say, look, it's been great working with you. Only one thing would have made it better is that we would have met you a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Then I'll feel like I'm doing some great work in the world and putting some good things into the world based on 25 years of experience of doing this. And that's where I'm at today is that that brings a level of fulfillment that makes me super excited to get up every day and do what I do 25 years after I started in this game. And I literally wake up. I'm more excited to do today. I'm more excited today than I've ever been in my career with the advent of AI and the rapid changes that are coming to our industry, agentic AI, agentic commerce. Our space is speeding up. It's not slowing down. And so for me, this is a passion project as much as it is, an income. So, I don't think you can stick at something. You said you've recorded over 1,200 podcasts. I've recorded over 610. I record three new podcasts a week. They're over an hour long each. And I don't think you can stick with anything over the long term if you don't truly enjoy the process. If your sole focus is an outcome as opposed to enjoying the process, as Gary Vee says, the clouds in the dirt. If you don't enjoy the process, then you're probably not going to stick at it. And the reason I've stuck at this for 25 years is because it's as much educational for me as it is for my clients. And so I learn as much from my clients and my guests as I do teach. So for me, that's a very exciting place to be.
Yeah, and that's a good point. There's certainly been plenty of podcast interviews I've given that I would love to have that time back. But and you're smiling. For those of you who are just listening on audio, and there's a sly smile coming out of both of our mouths. But here's the thing is that's part of the process, because it's part of connecting with somebody that you realize I definitely don't want more people like that in my life. And but now I know for sure. I wasn't sure before, I thought so, but now I'm 100% sure. But also it creates these lifelong connections. And honestly, it doesn't matter if anybody listens to the episode or not, because what matters is that we went through the process, or the process, as the Canadians say, of actually having the conversation. And I think a lot of us are really missing that these days, Jason.
Yeah, and I think also, my number one goal whenever I create content, and look, I've been a heavy duty content creator for over a decade now. I still spend 8 to 10 hours a week creating content of all types, written, LinkedIn, Reddit, across all many different platforms, plus my video podcast, which is also converted into audio. And for me, my primary goal is to create content that I enjoy making. Because I think if you go into creating content with just a singular goal in mind, but you don't actually enjoy the content that you're making, and you wouldn't enjoy consuming the content that you're creating. I go back and I listen to old podcasts of mine because I actually enjoy them. I actually enjoy the learnings that I get out of having these conversations with people that are smarter than me in many respects about many different topics that I'm not an expert in. And so it's an education for me, it's an education for my audience, and I just genuinely enjoy that piece of human connection. And Gary Vee, I was going back 10, 12 years ago, I was an avid li listener of Gary Vee. Don't listen to him as much anymore, but I remember him saying repeatedly over and over and over again, when you start creating content, you may not know all of the good things that will come out of that, but you should do it anyway. And you should have faith that good things will come, even if you don't know what those are and you don't know how long it'll be until those good things come. And looking back on it now, he's 100% correct. My best friends through the industry and through content creation. I have been able to speak at conferences. I've been able to travel the world. I have been on webinars. I have been able to form new technical partnerships, new SI partnerships. I have been able to meet people where when I'm traveling around the world, I go and stay with them wherever they live, and they act as like my local tour guide for where they're at. And so, there's just been so many amazing things that have come out of building a personal brand through content that, sure, of course, some of the benefits have been business-wise as well, and more exposure and better knowledge of who I am and recall of who I am and what I do. Of course, all that's been great, but I was creating content when I was still an employee of somebody else. And so, I didn't start, quote unquote, monetizing my audience until years after I started first creating content. And so, I think you have to enjoy it. I think you have to be learning from your own content. And I think you have to go into it with some pretty pure intent. Because if you don't, it becomes pretty clear that everything you do is a thinly veiled sales pitch. And I think people can smell that a mile away.
Yeah, that's right. And so, well, let's talk a little bit about, transitioning into this architecting a brand and a sales experience. This is something that you've been doing. Like, give me the roadblocks of of how somebody can start building out these blueprints, if you will.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. I say that most people won't know what they're good at, what they enjoy, what muscle they want to exercise, what format of content they want to produce. Is it audio? Is it long form written? Is it short form written? Is it video? Is it a combination of the above? Do they want to specialize in one platform for a while? Like when I first started making content at scale, I put out a post a day on LinkedIn for almost 7 years straight. And so that I really went all in on LinkedIn. Now, for the last couple of years, the algorithm has been very difficult, very challenging. So I've put a little bit more effort elsewhere. So I don't put out a pod, an episode or a post every single day to LinkedIn anymore. But I tell you, just exercising that muscle for years on end with total consistency and total commitment has made me a better writer. It's made me a better speaker. It's made me a better communicator. It's made me, even in my day job where I'm consulting, I don't make money off my content. I make money off of consulting. And so for me, being able to be a better communicator is a massive skill to have, as a solution architect, as an enterprise architect, as someone who's helping people with people, process, data, and technology. Being a good communicator is an essential skill that if you don't have those skills, you just won't have much credibility in your industry. And so I think people need to just start. Like if I go back and I look at the very first few podcasts that I recorded, they weren't that good. I wasn't that great of a host, if I'm honest with myself. Those first few posts to LinkedIn, those first couple hundred posts to LinkedIn, going back, over a decade ago, they weren't that good.
That's right.
But then I look 3 years later and the posts were decidedly better, decidedly more engaging. Then I look a couple more years after that and they just kept getting better. And so I think we have to give ourselves grace to know that just like going to the gym, you won't see results after one workout. It's going to take you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months before you're really going to start seeing tangible results when you look in the mirror, but they will come. And so you just have to have faith that, hey, look, if I keep at this, if I'm consistent with this, if I enjoy the process of creating content, if I enjoy the process of creating a personal brand, then there will be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, even if I don't know exactly what that pot of gold looks like today.
Yeah, and I think you really nailed it. I started my first podcast. It was called How to Lose Money. And we talked to investors and entrepreneurs. They share a major failure story and the lessons that they learned from it. And I was a pretty awkward, introverted dude that didn't really like talking to people, It's like, ugh. And yeah, you go back and listen to those episodes. I think they're still online, but like, man.
It was rough.
ugh. But it doesn't matter because within those first 20 episodes that I recorded, I connected with one of the guests and we ended up doing some business together. And that business lasted 5 years and it was worth over $1 million in income for me. Even though I didn't know what I was doing and it was awkward and poorly done because it doesn't matter. What matters is the connection and the effort and the consistency of doing it. And that has happened for me many, many times over because you just keep showing up and, hitting the button and seeing what happens. And sometimes it's a turd, and sometimes it's $1 million contract.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, if you, and that's what I tell people, the two pillars, because I get a lot of people messaging me or following up after we've recorded a podcast and they say, Jason, how did you stick with this for 600 plus episodes? How are you still doing this 10 years later, 11 years later, 12 years later? How are you still producing content consistently? How are you even thinking of enough stuff to talk about and write about and communicate about? How are you even doing that on a consistent enough basis to be able to stick with this? Because pod fade is a thing. And I remember when I first started out on my podcast, I looked at the data and the data said that if you got past 50 episodes, you were like in the top, 5% of podcasters. And if you got past 100 episodes, you were in like the top 1% of podcasters. And most people just can't, they just don't stick with it because it takes so long to see the initial fruits of your effort that a lot of people, they really struggle with being consistent long enough to get the benefits of all this effort that they're putting in. And so there is those two pillars. One is I'm doing it for me first. Yes, I think about my audience. Yes, I care about my audience. Yes, I care about the algorithms of these different platforms that I'm putting content out to. Yes, those matter, but I'm making content for me first. Like, I am the most important person because when I started out, there was nobody making an e-commerce podcast focused on tech and ops. Every other e-commerce podcast that was out there in the market at that time, it's not true today, but at that time, they were all focused on digital marketing and merchant stories. There was nobody focused on tech and ops. Now there's a podcast called Literally The Operators, and there's a few other podcasts that focus on tech and ops, and they've got their different focuses, whether it's be D2C, B2B, whatever. But at that time, there was nobody putting out content that I wanted to consume around my industry. And so I was like, well, if nobody else is going to do it, bugger it. I'll put my hand up and I'll do it myself. So that's the first thing. I think you got to create content for yourself first, the content that you enjoy banking. Secondly, I think that you really have to have one, two, three pillars that you are comfortable speaking to all the time. Like that you're just, it's so in your lane that, like, for example, I knew that we were going to talk about stuff that's in my lane today, so I didn't need to do any prep, right? Like, I'm not talking about stuff that's so far outside my wheelhouse that I need to go and research it so that I can speak to it. No, I'm talking about stuff that's my lived experience every single day. And so I think if you can speak to one, two, three pillars, with about 75% of your content, and then like 25% of your content should be focused on really personal, intimate, transparent, random stuff. Like, oh, I was doing this today and this was my experience, or hey, here's a photo of me on holiday here and we had a great time doing this. I think you have to intersperse some really personal stuff into your content to really gain that extra deep level of connection with your audience. And if you're not willing to be vulnerable, right, you probably shouldn't start making content because it requires a level of vulnerability to really connect with an audience that most people are seriously uncomfortable with. And you kind of have to be willing to show yourself warts and all. And that would be my that th those would be my two biggest pieces of advice.
Who's the best person to connect with you, and where can they go to learn more?
Honestly, the best place, connect with me on LinkedIn. You'll find me there. I publish, content almost every single day there. They can also check me out on that sign behind my head here, The E-Commerce Edge podcast. We put out three episodes a week: Monday mentorship, Wednesday B2B, Friday tech focused episodes. And I'd love to connect with you. Basically, if you Google me or ChatGPT me, you find me everywhere.
Very good. So, hey, we're going to wrap up for today. Thanks so much to our guest, Jason Greenwood, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how he gets things done. For those of you who wants to connect with him directly, you can find him on LinkedIn or you can Google him, send out a smoke signal, and he'll fly over to your house and say hello, peek in your window, all kinds of different things. So, hey, once again, if you are looking to expand your capacity as a business owner, we'll place a high-performing VA into your business, manage them for you so you can grow faster with less stress. You can go to vaiq.net to learn more. Until next time, remember this: if you want to win, push your chips in.